And as she comes, I just want to... I know we have some guests here today. So when I went to Cambodia a little over a year ago, just the Lord just did a work in me where I was tired of the status quo of church. Been a pastor for 20 years, but there was just something that was needed to be provoked in my own heart. And I believe many of you are here today, have come and joined us. I believe that's the reason guests come through here. There's something in your heart that's provoked. There's got to be something more. And I love my pastoring of 16 and a half years at Sojourn Church, incredible men and women of God. I was so blessed. One of the main blessings I got out of it was Nancy Lynch. And I felt like the Lord said, as we are in our ninth month as a church plant out of Sojourn, and I felt like the Lord said, on Mother's Day, have mothers in the Lord share. And here's a key, one of the pillars of why Hope Fellowship exists, one of the pillars is honor. We have got to find those old ancient paths, as it says in the Old Testament, back to honor. And I was blown away of what Ann shared. It's about honor even when you don't even have answers to some questions of life. And to be able to honor this incredible woman of God, because again, one of the things, if you've been here with us long, I tell you to sit down and to get to know the chapters in the living epistles. I know this woman, she's had to go into some deep valleys and high mountain places, and she has been a woman of God that has embraced God's love and God's truth over the years. So when the Lord spoke to me to allow the woman of God, a mother in the Lord, to share, there would be no other except my wife. She was the first, but she didn't want to share. Just kidding. Number two, close second to first, would be Nancy Lynch. So if you will receive her as a righteous woman of God, as a prophetic voice, you will receive those rewards, because that's what the Bible says. So give her up one more time for this woman of God.
Oh, my. Well, it's an honor and a privilege to be asked to share, especially as it's our first Mother's Day. I haven't been involved as much as a lot of you, but I'm enjoying all of our first. And so thank you, Mike. Thanks, Celia. Jason, I feel like I'm screaming and can be heard in Mesquite. Is it not? Okay. All right. It's so loud for you. Okay. Okay, good. Then I'll just ignore me. Anyway. Yeah, y'all can... They'll tell me to be quiet if they've done it before. Anyway, Mike, Celia, thank you. One of the things I wanted to start off with this morning was to honor the mother in this house who's hiding back there behind all the paraphernalia. But we've got a phenomenal mother in the Lord in this house in Celia. And Celia, we just want to tell you, I know I'm speaking for all of these people who are part of Hope. We are so blessed by your life, by not just Mike, but you, all your vision, your prayers, everything you've sown into Hope. And a lot of what it is because of who you are. And so we love you. We honor you. We have all been blessed by you and your life and who you are. So love you. And then just like Ann, I too felt like I just wanted to honor my natural mom. Her name was Helen. She's been with the Lord for about 6.5 years. And she was a mighty woman of faith. And what I want to talk about today is faith. And she passed down to me a very simple faith, because there were many times she faced hard things. And about the first thing out of her mouth would be, just trust the Lord. You may not understand, but just trust the Lord. And if there's something I can pass down to my kids and my grandsons and any future grandbabies, that would be that. No hints. Anyway, that's what it would be. Just a simple childlike trust in the one who loves us without measure. Because as we sing that song in the good times and bad, he's here and he loves us. And if we'll just trust him like a little child trusts a good earthly dad, and there are a lot of them, and we have a lot in this body. We have a lot of you gentlemen who are incredible dads in the Lord. If we'll just trust with that childlike faith, it's amazing what we'll see and how we'll get to know the Lord, because I think you get to know him more deeply in those times of trial than you do when the times are good. That's more like Scott, my son, his head Wesley, my grandson on his shoulders. Those are kind of the good times when you get to ride on daddy's shoulders and bounce and play. But the hard times are when he holds you close to his heart and you hear his heartbeat for you and just you. So today I want to talk about faith, and I want to start with Hebrews 11. No surprise there. Great passages here about faith. It begins with, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And I just really wanted to challenge us today, no matter what we're facing. And some of us are facing some pretty hard obstacles, that we would understand that our faith, even though it may be a hope in our heart for something that's not come to pass for decades, as long as we hang on to that faith, we've got the substance of that promise, and God is in it with us. So let's turn over then to verse 11 and read about Sarah, one of my heroes. By faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. It wasn't that she was just an awesome woman of God. She was, as we'll look back in Genesis and see, she was quite a character along with her husband. But God, they're known as the father and mother of faith. And God has promised us mighty things through them because of their faith. So let's look at that one more time. Why is she known as a mighty woman of faith? Because she kept her focus on the Lord, because she truly lived that scripture that came later when Paul wrote to Timothy, I know the one in whom I've placed my trust. And that's where my faith comes from. It's not in circumstances or abilities. It's not in money or relationships, earthly relationships. It's in the ultimate relationship. And that's with a Father who loves us with a love that is incomprehensible. And I like that, that it's incomprehensible, because as much as we get to know, taste, experience that love as we move through life with Him, there's always more. There's always a new facet of His love to experience in our lives. So let's go back to Genesis, I think about chapter 11, and see how this played out. I really felt impressed of all the moms in the Bible to share about Sarah. It's quite a journey that she and Abraham embarked on at the Lord's request. And keep in mind as we kind of look through this, let's start with chapter 12, where God kind of hints at what he has for Abraham and Sarah for the first time. And I watch as we look through this passage on Abraham and Sarah, how God unfolds this. He doesn't just walk right up and go, you're going to be the father of billions that will be your descendants. He starts out with a hint. And to me, that the whole purpose in the way the Lord played this out was to keep drawing Abraham and Sarah closer to him, seeking his heart. So the first hint of what's to come for these two is, I'm going to make you a great nation, and through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And then God lets Abraham ponder that. And keep in mind, he's hearing this firsthand. Sarah's back in the tent or wherever, as God visits with Abraham, and then he shares with Sarah what the Lord has spoken to his heart. That's verses 1 through 3. Look over then at verse 7. God comes along really soon and gives them a promise. This is the first time he uses the word descendants. Your descendants that I will give to you will have this land to inherit. All of us, you do know all of us have some land to inherit, don't you? It's got your name on it, but you're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have great faith for it, but God is going to be with you in the midst of it all along the way. So God keeps unfolding this thing, and over in chapter 13, verse 15, you don't have to try to keep up with me. I'll spit it out at you. Hopefully not on Jason, literally. God says to Abram, and at this point in time, he's Abram and she's Sarai. They haven't had their name changed yet. The Lord reiterates, for the land which you see, now he's really pulling Abraham into some vision. Look as far as you can. I'm giving this to you and your descendants. And imagine what Abraham does. What have you done? How many of you in here have ever received a prophetic word? Raise your hand. Scott, you have. All right. Everybody, almost. What do you do with that? You treasure it in your heart. Remember Mary when the angel showed up? What did she do with that prophecy, that promise? She pondered in her heart what the Lord was saying to her. That was one of the bigger prophetic words ever given, if not the biggest. Anyway, all right, going to keep flipping through this story so we're not just stuck there. This is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture, if you want to look there. Chapter 15, where one starry night, the Lord shows up to Abraham, to Abram, in a dream. And I like to imagine this. I actually went and sat outside in my driveway real early one morning. Keep in mind, I live in Plano, and there are lights everywhere. And I couldn't really see very much, but I sat out there and thought, I'm just going to see how long I last trying to count the stars. Because that was God's challenge to Abram. He visits him in a dream and says, here's what I am for you. I'm your shield and your exceedingly great reward. God is revealing who he is and what his heart is for Abram in this night encounter, because I believe the Lord really showed up and this really happens. He says to Abraham, let's go outside a minute. And this is how I picture that, where it says, God brought Abraham outside and said, all right, Abraham, now you look toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. So shall your descendants be. Somewhere in that little talk with Abraham, I always picture Jesus as taller than Abraham for some reason. I don't know why. But I picture the Lord just draping his arm across his shoulders and saying, look at the vastness of this thing that I have for you, of what I'm giving to you. Can you comprehend it? Will you try to just press in and believe me, stretch out in faith and believe me for the impossible? And God actually shows up and challenges Abraham and Sarah with that on down the road in the midst of all their promises. Am I not the God of the impossible? I think that impossibilities actually fall by the wayside with God's word being spoken. And I think that I'm looking at a group of people right now who really believe that. And that's part of what I love about this place is we're going for it. We're not going to let anything slow us down or stop us, no matter how great the odds. And the odds of a small group of people like this totally changing the landscape of this neck of the woods in Dallas in the natural, impossible. I don't even think Prestonwood Baptist, with all their people and resources, could have the impact we have in our hearts to have. But God, he's in it with us. All right, so let's look at this. Here in verse 6 of chapter 15, it says that Abram believed in the Lord, and then look what happened. It's the first time someone in Scripture gets credit, gets righteousness as Celia made me a t-shirt once, which I'm going to be brave to wear up here sometime. But this is not what it says. It says something else. This one, I feel like if Jesus could have made Abraham a t-shirt, it would have said righteous by faith. You know that you've been made righteous by your faith in Jesus. This is the first instance of that in Scripture where it says God accounted it to him for righteousness. And that's when Abraham really took on that mantle of righteousness that then he walked with all of his days in spite of hiccups. We're not going to back up. I passed over a bit of a hiccup here when there was a famine in the land and Abraham and Sarah have this promise. They're in Egypt. And I know you all know this story, but Sarah, even in her 80s, is beautiful. And Abraham's just a little bit afraid what's going to happen to him because of her beauty, because he's her husband. And so they tell a white lie, because she's his half-sister that he's married. Back then, people used to do that, I guess. And so, anyway, He tells the lions that she's my sister, but he leaves out the part that she's also my wife so that Pharaoh won't have him removed from the picture, thrown in the dungeon, actually off with his head, whatever Pharaoh might have thought to do, because this woman was so gorgeous, Pharaoh's eye was immediately locked onto her. So they have this little hiccup. Sarah and Abraham tell this lie, and it causes all this turmoil for Pharaoh, and God has to show up and undo it. How many of you have ever caused a hiccup like that, that God had to come along and undo? I've got three people sitting to my right who can testify. I've done that not once or twice, but many times. And God's just been so faithful to come and show up and walk me through my messes, make straight that which I made crooked by my own doings. He's just been there. And never once have I heard a word of condemnation from my father. It's always been, okay, well, here's what we need to do now. Let me hold you a little closer. You listen a little better, and we're going to get through this thing. And this isn't the only time this happens with Abraham and Sarah, so keep that in mind as we keep looking at these promises. God keeps unfolding this thing, but as we go over to chapter 17, it's the first time that Abraham is called by God a father. Imagine that that was music to his ears to hear that. You're really going to be a dad. You're really going to have descendants. But see, there's still portions of this that God's not laid out real clearly. Does God ever do that with any of you? Does he ever give you portions and expect you, I love the look on your face, expect you to come back to him for more and more of the blueprint? It, to me, it's kind of like what I would need if I were trying to put a car engine together. David Mazden wouldn't need it. He could probably do it. But I would need such specifics to do that. God doesn't usually unfold things to us the whole game plan all at once. He usually gives us what we need at that time to move forward with him. So here in verse 17, God shows up and begins to reveal who he is again. He says, I am Almighty God. Now, this is after big hiccup number one. And he says, walk before me blameless. Would you be a little more careful about the decisions you make? Don't decide with your mind without consulting me what action to take. Hey, Pharaoh, she's just my sister. You can have her. Don't do that. Walk before me in my counsels. That's what blameless means to me. It's not that God is saying, don't ever make a mistake again. He's just saying, come close and walk in my counsel, and I'll keep you from these major hiccups. I think hiccup's kind of a low-key term for what went on here, but that's the word I felt led to use. Anyway, this thing's been playing out for years now. This all started, I think, that Abraham was 75, so Sarah was 65 when they start hearing this promise. This is years later. What do you think God is trying to build into them through this process? Because this is an adventure with the Lord, a journey. But there's also a process embedded in the middle. What is God trying to do with Abraham and Sarah? What's he building into them? Faith and obedience and patience and hope. And I'm looking for an E word, endurance. All of those, every one of those things. So you see, when you're going through your trials, see all of the things that could be coming out of your trials that are being worked in you that you probably aren't even realizing what's on the inside of you that wasn't there before. I love that the last 2 weeks, because I felt like what the Lord was doing as he unfolded this to me was building on what Mike shared for Easter about regrets. We can't hang on to those. God is capable, as we're going to see with Ishmael. Sarah and Abraham, they helped to create a work of the flesh that is rearing its ugly head today. And God says to, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. Let's go over to verses 16, 17, 18. This is when Sarah's first called a mother. And God says, I'm going to bless Sarah and I'm going to give you a child through her. She will be a nation from which kings will be birthed. Wow. Wow. You know, was it 2 years ago, Mike, God told you God was going to do wows? Talk about a wow being spoken to somebody. Here's a lady in her, by now, 80s, who's going to have a baby. I can't even imagine chasing a toddler around at 80-something years old. Wesley wears me out, and I'm only 60, so, but I enjoy every minute of it. Anyway, Abraham laughs here. I know you all know the story, and you know in a few chapters up, Sarah's going to get in trouble for laughing, and God chastises her a little bit. But in verse 17, it says, Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, and I don't think he's going, oh, yeah, right here. He's going, a child is going to be born to a man who is 100 years old, and Sarah, who's 90, shall have a baby. I think he was laughing because he knew a mountain had moved. He knew that an impossible obstacle was being removed out of the way by the only one who can remove it, and that's God. But Abraham had stuck with God. He'd not totally given up and turned away, even though things had gotten a little crooked. But what happens? Here's why I think that Abraham believed that. Immediately his father's heart says to the Lord, what about Ishmael? Because he could see what was coming, this promised child, but he already has a son that he loves. This man was a true father. And he cries out to God, what about Ishmael? And God says, I'm going to take that which was not my perfect best plan. And I know everybody in here, my heart's cry, and I think yours is to be found not in God's permissive will for our lives, but his perfect will, his definition that he's giving to us for our lives. So here's this big hiccup named Ishmael, and God says, don't worry, I'm going to take care of him, and he too will be a great nation, and I will use him to establish tribes throughout the earth. I love that interchange there, because that so showed Abraham's father's heart to me. And I think that when you're a dad, you have a big heart that can encompass a lot of those that God brings to put into your life who need that kind of love. I think we have a lot of those kind of dads here in this body called Hope Fellowship. And that's the way it ought to be. Okay, here comes the really fun part where Sarah gets in trouble, though. In chapter 18, Jesus shows up, and I think this is indicative of how his relationship with Abraham has grown, and it's more intimate than it was starting out. I wouldn't just show up at Mike and Celia's house with friends. I might just show up unannounced because we're that good of friends. But I wouldn't just bring people that they don't know with me and say, hey, we want to hang out for a while. But God shows up that way here. He shows up with two others, angels, I'm sure, and just wants to chat with Abraham and kind of test the waters and see where Abraham and Sarah are with believing for this promise. So in the middle of this conversation, well, Abraham brings the three guys in and says, Sarah fixed something for him to eat, and she does. So she's probably back a little bit, but wanting to hear the whole conversation that's going on with Abraham and his three visitors. And the Lord says to Abraham, Sarah's going to have a son. And Sarah, I love this, Sarah laughed in her heart to herself. She didn't laugh out loud. If it'd been me at 80 years old, being a kid raised in the 60s, I really probably out loud would have said, oh yeah, right, sure, kind of cynically, because that's kind of how the 60s were. There was a lot of cynicism. Anyway, and no, that's hard for y'all to believe who weren't raised back then. Anyway, she laughs, and the Lord looks at Abraham and says, why did Sarah laugh? He challenges her husband. I'll let you ponder that one and why. And Sarah immediately says, I didn't laugh. I didn't laugh. She lies to the Lord. And he goes, oh, but Sarah, you did. He didn't smack her. He wasn't mad. He's just saying to Sarah, I heard your heart. I know your heart. And it's okay. I still got these plans for you. I still love you. Well, maybe he didn't think it was okay. I think he would have liked for there to have been that simple childlike faith that he expects from us. But he did challenge her. He did say, I heard that laugh. You did laugh. It didn't change the promise. The promise is still a reality in the kingdom of God coming forth onto the earth. And at this point in time, neither Sarah nor Abraham are, they're still holding on to it. They haven't given up, and they're like in their 90s and 80s. This thing looks impossible and is impossible in the natural, but not with God. Here's one of the places that the Lord challenges them and says, is anything too hard for me? And he's saying that to every one of us today. Every one of us has a place in our lives that he wants to challenge us to stretch out into believing him for something bigger than what we can even see. In Ephesians, he says, I want to do for you more than you can even think or ask. That's what he wants to do for every one of you. And I love when we have Sundays that Mike pulls people up here and we get to share testimonies of what God's done. It may be a real simple thing. Jess shared a precious one with me this morning. In the overall scheme of world peace and fighting, you know, where people are starving in North Korea because there's such famine, it's not this huge world-changing event, but it was for somebody's life because she got to minister to them. And she got to bring forth the kingdom into their life. And it was an answer to a desire God had put in her heart. When you have desires in your heart, know that they're from God. Don't discount them. Don't just think it's me thinking this thing up. God says, I'm going to give you more than you can think. So if it's a more than you can think, where did that thinking come from? If it's a good thing, it came straight from your Father's heart because he has more good in store for you than you can think or imagine. I want to go back and look at Hebrews 11 and kind of chew on this just a little bit and how this played out in Sarah's life. Because a lot of people think of Sarah as the lady who laughed at God's promise, and yet she makes the Mighty Believers Hall of Fame here in Hebrews, where all of these incredible men and women, or men of faith, are listed. Moses, she's listed right alongside of Moses because she didn't lose her faith. She, somewhere from having a little bit of a heart of unbelief, somewhere she moved on down the line, was strengthened with might in her inner man by the power of the Holy Spirit, which that is also from Ephesians 3. She received a strength in her spirit man so that she could actually latch onto and conceive in her heart and mind, in her body, this promise from God, which was an impossibility. I want to be like that. I want to have that kind of living faith and simple childlike faith. The one who's spoken the things into your hearts is faithful to you if you won't give up, if you won't back off. I loved in the song, one of the ones we sang today, that said, when I fall down, he's there. He picks me up. Let him do that. If you have a hiccup, no matter how big it is, he's a dad. He's always there. Think of that scripture where he describes, am I not the one who leaned down and helped toddler Ephraim learn how to walk? That's his heart for you and me. Wherever we are in life, however our walk is looking, he's right there trying to keep us on that straight path that moves us into the destiny he has for us. And he's got an incredible destiny for every person in this room. Incredible, off the charts. Do you believe that? Amen. I hope so. Anyway, I think I listened to Philip last week. I told Mike about 3 weeks ago, if I were preaching right then, it would be on taking lids off. And then Philip got up, and that was exactly what was on his heart, exactly what he shared last week, where we've got denial or fear and intimidation or anger, whatever we're wrestling with, those lids keep us held down, held back from receiving and walking in the promises of God. Those regrets that Mike talked about 2 weeks ago, time to jettison them. I mean, those are just weights that are going to hold us back from the things of God as we move forward. That's really my prayer for every one of us, that in this season of time, we press into the Father heart of God in new and fresh and deep ways and experience and encounter His love in such a way that we don't dwell on our hiccups. I don't think Abraham and Sarah did. And they had a big one that lived in their tent for many years, grew up underneath, caused problems enough that Sarah finally said, enough, he's out. And God had to say to Abraham, he needs to go. I'll take care of him. This is the promise right here. Don't look at your hiccups. Don't let them hold you back. Know that God forgives you. I love the scripture in Joel 2. Read it this afternoon if you haven't read it in a while. Where Joel knows God's heart so well, he says, you know, if you'll turn back to God, who knows but what he'll pass you by and leave a blessing. That's his heart for every one of us. And Joel knew that. That's why that's in there. It's a rhetorical question. It's not maybe God will, maybe he won't. It's a, if you'll do this, this is how God will respond. He'll show you what action to take. It's not that we just believe for these prophetic words and we don't sometimes have to take an action. Sometimes they can be interesting looking, like the time Mike had a whole bunch of us in the prayer room at Sojourn banging arrows on the ground. I loved that. I still have my arrow. And Linda Nicholas would pop one and it'd break and she'd hit another one because Linda doesn't do anything without doing it exuberantly. Yeah, love that about that woman. And so her arrow would snap, she'd grab another one. If you need to do something that's that tangible, do it. Go to Academy and buy you $1.39 arrow and live out that story where Elisha's dying and he says to the king, look out there, this is the land God has for you. Shoot your arrows. And the king stops after three, and he wasn't supposed to stop at three. And because of that, he didn't win but three victories. He didn't have the complete victory of what God had for him. Sometimes God will put that on your heart to do. I still get my arrow out and pound around on the carpet in my bedroom when I'm praying sometimes. There was a day here about, I don't know, 6 or 7 weeks ago, I felt so impressed to share. When we sing that song, How Great is Our God, and there's a line in there, sing with me. There's someone. I put my hand out, and I believe for that person to hold my hand physically one day and sing praises to the Lord with me again. He'll put on your heart things like that to do. Are you willing to look a little foolish sometimes in order to say, you know, I believe you, God, and this is just an outward manifestation of my faith and my trust in you. So sometimes he may want us to look foolish. I can't imagine what a 90-year-old lady looked like 8 or 9 months pregnant. Whew. I'm sure people were thinking, what? Goodness gracious. Anyway, I don't think she cared. She was so excited to have the desire of her heart being fulfilled. And you know, several times as that story played out, the Lord says, there's an appointed time, a set time, and I'm coming. And somewhere between Sarah's laugh and that appointed time when the Lord came back and she had that baby, she got so changed who she was internally. She got so full of the promises of God that she was able to take that promise and believe for it, and it became a living reality. So again, from Hebrews, well, let's look at Hebrews 10:36. God says you have need of endurance so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Don't give up. The times I felt like giving up, here's the thought that I know is from God that flits through my head. What if tomorrow's the day and you give up today? What if you give up one day short of when my answer is going to arrive? Don't give up when something looks hopeless. That's when God delights in showing up. I was so frustrated with Mike when we were starting this church. What's new? Because he calls me one day and he goes, okay, I've got the name. It's Hope Fellowship. And so I got on the internet and I go, okay, that sounds pretty good to me. And there are Hope Fellowships everywhere. And I'm like, did he even bother to Google it? Did he even know what a problem that's going to be? And about It took about 5 minutes, and God was like, it's me. He heard me. So, and he did. I believe that with all my heart. Doesn't matter. There's one in Denton, one right by Scott and Tiff's house in Frisco. There's one in Irving. They're everywhere. It doesn't matter. It's God's theme song. There is always hope in God in every circumstance. And that's what we have to give away, is the reality of the kingdom, is the hope that we have in God. It's a living hope. And I have a feeling, if Mike, have you shared about that? I missed it if you did. All the things that God put on Mike's heart when he gave him that name, because we really are called to give away, not just platitudes from the scripture, hang in there, it's going to get better someday. No, we've got a living hope. We've got the person of Jesus Christ that we're giving away, and everything that he embodies, which is newness of life, where there is death, there's resurrection. Everything of the kingdom is what we're called to give away. So if we could take a few minutes, can I pray for us? Okay. I just want to pray for all of us, because I love you guys. This is really just family being here. And to me, that's what church ought to be like, where we're carrying each other in our hearts. I am so thankful to each one of you who said, I've been praying for you, because I hate microphones. I hate talking. There's not a real podium I could really feel like I was hiding behind, but this worked. You're a family. And then people stepping up to the plate, Rebecca on the keyboard for the first time in a long time. I mean, everybody is just pitching in and doing what needs to be done. So, Lord, I thank you for who you are, and for the group of people you've brought together here, and for our visitors, Lord. I thank you that your hand is on each one of us. And, Lord Jesus, were you to return to earth tomorrow, we want to individually and corporately be a people where there would be no question, because there is that challenge in Scripture, when you return, will faith be found on the earth? We want to be one of those pockets of hope that your light is shining through, Jesus, because we have our hearts set on the God of the impossible, because we're growing in that intimacy with you, where we're like Bill Johnson says, you know your mind is renewed when you look at something that looks impossible and it looks logical to you. We want to have that kind of heart, that kind of purpose, Lord. Would you do whatever work needs to be done in each of our hearts and lives, that we believe you for big, big things, Lord. I know some of the heart cries of people in this room, and they're believing to see supernatural miracles. Lord, your kingdom is a supernatural kingdom. And so we say, Father, our eyes are on you. We thank you that when we have hiccups, you just come along and you show us how to get dusted off. You actually do the dusting off. You pick us up, set us on our feet, and say, let's get going again. Father, I pray the power of regret, guilt, condemnation would be broken off of anyone who's here today wrestling with that. And they would know that you look at them, you see Jesus first, and you see their destiny in Jesus when you look at each one of us, Lord. Give us a fresh revelation of that. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for who you are, that you are love. And Lord, love believes, love is faith. And we just say, as we keep our eyes on you, we expect to be a people of great faith. Thank you, Father, that you work that into the very fiber of our beings. Father, I just speak a blessing over each one of these who's here today. I thank you for them. I thank you for the destiny that you're leading them into. And I thank you that by the power of your Spirit working in them, they won't give up. They won't fall backwards, Lord, but they'll keep moving forward by the power of the Holy Spirit and under the guidance of the Father who loves them without measure. In Jesus' name, amen.